This is Anderson Penn's podcast episode 180 for Tuesday, January 26th, 2016. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's radio network.
Mahalo. Because I wish we were in Hawaii right now.
I keep telling you, my cousin is in Mazatlan. We should just go and visit.
It's not Hawaii. That's Mexico. I know,
but it's warm there.
Oh, my God.
There is no snow.
Mom's in the chat saying that even Florida is cooler than normal. Yeah, but cooler than normal is like what, 50?
Cooler than normal. Our hearts go out to all Floridians in this time of challenge.
Not really. So we're home finally from the Philly Penn Show.
Okay, I think we deserve a round of applause for getting home.
I got to tell you. Mom says 39 the other morning. Please. You know, the big blizzard hit, what do they call it? Snowmageddon. Hurricane Jonas or Blizzard Jonas Brothers or whatever they're calling it. We left Thursday so that we could arrive Friday morning to avoid the storm. And a lot of people had that same idea, and we got there with absolutely no problems at all. There wasn't even any snow from Chicago pretty much to Philly. I mean, we got into Pennsylvania, and we were commenting that there was green grass.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet drive.
It's been, unseasonably warm for a lot of places all over the country. But we knew that this storm was going to be big. For us, the 20 inches or so that Philly got, we call that Wednesday, but but it was really pretty bad in a lot of places. We know a lot of people, friends in Maryland and a little bit more south, they got, 30, 40 inches, and that's rough. Absolutely. It's crippling. Mm-hmm. But we had no problems whatsoever getting to Philly. We did have to spend one night, Sunday night, because part of the turnpike, the Pennsylvania Turnpike, was closed down in the mountains. I guess there had been some 500 cars were stranded because a couple semis were trying to go up the incline and they couldn't make it. They started to slip back or something and I guess caused this huge pileup.
It was closed for the better part of a day and a half.
Yeah. I think some people were closed, were stranded for almost 24 hours. So anyway, we ended up spending Sunday night, which we never do, because there was no point in driving if we were going to get stuck. It was weird. It was very weird. Drove home, and by the time that Sunday morning, it was pretty early Monday morning when we left, the roads, once you get out of downtown Philly, the roads were fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely dry, absolutely clear. Snow on the shoulders, but, absolutely nothing on the roads whatsoever. Until we got north of Milwaukee. That's 16 plus hours, and we're 2 hours from home. And I think Snowmageddon decided to come to Wisconsin because all of a sudden you can barely see the road. There are trucks, semis in the ditch. You've got cars in the ditch, cops everywhere. And we get to a point where I was driving and I couldn't do it. We pulled over at a rest stop and Brian started driving and it was, I'm going to go with white knuckle all the rest of the way.
That was 40 miles an hour maximum.
And I was scared when you were doing 40. I kept thinking, slow down.
and actually, this should have taken about probably a little over an hour. It took twice as long. It took 2 hours to get home. So
it was scary. My arm hurts. I was hanging on to the side of the door so hard. But we made it home fine. It's just, I couldn't imagine, being an hour from home and ending up in the ditch. Like, come on, we survived the storm. We made it all the way, 1,000 miles out, 1,000 miles back, and we're an hour from home and we were stuck.
Well, we got about, I would say, I would say we probably got close to 6 inches in about 3 hours.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good hit. We pulled into the store about 11, a little bit after 11, somewhere between 11, 11:30.
Yeah.
You know, we had to go get the shovel. We had to shovel out just so we could get to the car, on the curb and, unload the car. And by the time we got home, it was midnight, 12:30 ish.
It was about midnight.
Midnight. Yeah. Didn't get to sleep till 12:30, but, yeah. Wow. Glad to make it home. That's for sure. So, but let's talk about the Philly show.
Philly was phenomenal.
You know, it was a really good show, and I think that surprised a lot of people. I mean, we all knew this storm was coming. Everybody's talking about it all week long, and you know, unfortunately, some people elected not to come, or they couldn't come for one reason or another, or didn't want to risk getting stuck at the airport. And I understand that, but. You know, there were plenty of people. We got in about 8 o'clock, 8:30 on Friday morning. And
Eric is my hero for finagling us to be able to get into our room right then, because I got to tell you, after 1,000 miles in the car, there's nothing like stretching horizontal on a really
good day. Yeah, that was awesome.
So, nothing like it.
You know, plus 10 points for getting a room. I mean, we've been to places where we got in early, we arrived early, and they had nothing. I mean, we're sitting there sleeping in the car in the parking lot. I mean, that's just awful. And so
that is not comfortable.
It is not comfortable.
I'm
you
just
know,
gonna go there.
You're right there. You know, there's a bed in that building, and it's earmarked for you, but you can't get it until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's you know, it's awful. But Eric was great. Met us outside. Gave us good directions too once we got downtown, because it was crazy.
Oh my God.
Everybody going to work and take the second exit, not the first. And no, it was awesome. So got in, got some sleep, and then got up. We walked downtown. We went and ate at the Ruby Tuesdays.
Ruby Tuesdays, which I keep calling Applebee's.
Which Lisa called Applebee's like 6 times. but there's a mall adjoined to the hotel, which is really interesting.
Stop right there for a second. Now picture this: all the female pen collectors or the married male pen collectors. You're at a pen show, and the hotel. You can see the mall from the ball, just like right outside in the foyer outside the ballroom. So there's a mall and a pen show. Heaven.
Well, you know, I think it's a good alternative. You're going to bring your spouse to a pen show. I would have loved to have been able to take a look at some of those watches that were at that one. We kept going past that window.
Mm-hmm.
Neat watch store, but interesting stuff. It looked bigger than I think it was, but there was plenty to look at. There was a nice food court. So we had lunch, came back, took another nap, and then woke up and started getting ready to set up. So, which was nice. We got to set up Friday night. Room was locked.
Huge kudos to Eric for arranging Friday night setup. Many people were in there getting their tables all set up, and it was really awesome to be able to unload the car, get it all into our spot, and set up so that on Saturday morning, everything was done.
Yeah, you're ready to go. I mean, it's
show up.
At least for us, it can take 3-4 hours to really get everything organized and set up. And especially when, if you're setting up the morning of the show and then people are stopping by and they're asking, you know, what blue ink color matches my shirt, or what's tealer than this, or, you know, they're asking questions and you're trying to get set up, it takes longer. But so that was awesome. We get in Saturday morning and it's boom, we're all just uncover the sheets and we're good to go. So.
Yeah, it was nice to not be rushed. And so, it was just really nice. It was very relaxing almost. I mean, setup for us is never ever relaxing, but it was really fun. A wonderful experience. Same thing in Colorado, we have that opportunity as well, and it's really
it's nice.
Hugely appreciated.
You know, sometimes you only get 2 hours in, but the early ticket holders get to get in at the same time. So it gets complicated. But huge thanks to our good friend Steph, who was busy handling my Precious, putting up the Sailor and the Platinum for us while we were setting everything else up. So that really helped, and I really appreciate that.
But, I think she enjoyed it.
I think a little bit too much, because she saw the Regency stripe and she just kind of pushed it to the side. And knowing that that pen was recently announced as discontinued, I didn't even get a chance to write the blog post about it. And that was it. So she said, just put that in the back.
Yep.
So very cool. And she got the exact same pen that I have, same nib.
You guys are twinsies.
We're twinsies. It's awesome. So, anything significant Friday? I guess we ate at the restaurant, and the restaurant was at the hotel.
It was fine.
You know, for an $18 burger, but it was tiny. It was just, it was ridiculous. It was like, I don't know. Was it 4 inches wide? I mean,
it was, I would not call it epically big.
It was smaller than the bun by about an inch on either side. So,
fairly small, yeah.
It was small. It was good. The bacon was nice and crisp, and the service was great. The waitress was excellent. Desserts was great. For an $18 burger, I expect something that's
Fuddruckers big.
Maybe meets the edge of the bun. I don't know. Maybe I'm asking for too much. So.
Saturday, we all knew that the storm was going to hit Friday night into, and then, you know, all of Saturday. I was pleasantly surprised with the turnout on Saturday. We are pen collectors in general. We are a hardy bunch and we are determined. And the people who were there on Saturday either planned in advance or changed their plans and got in that day, Friday. And people came in Saturday. We were incredibly impressed with how many people were there on Saturday.
Yeah, decent turnout at the door. And everybody was in a good mood. Now, it started about 9, 10 o'clock at night on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just really kept coming down all day Saturday. But the people were, it actually wasn't – there was a significant number of people. I want to say there was 83 through the door. Eric will probably correct me. 83 people through the door on Saturday, but it gave everybody a chance to talk and to have a few more moments with each other. In 103, he says, 103 through the door, and
nice.
And you could chat and you could talk about things. And sometimes on Saturday it's like, hey, how you doing? Got to run, go.
$15 for that bottle of ink. Thanks very much. Here's your change. Got to go.
Yeah, we'll see you in Long Island or whatever. So it was really good. It was nice to chat with some people, that we've otherwise seen at other shows, but we don't get a chance to do it. So, it worked out. It was
steady.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. I would have to say it was a tiny bit slow to start, which is normal, unless it's like LA when they're only open one day.
Right.
I thought that it was really pretty steady. There was no big rush. There was no huge lull. At some shows, you're busy and you're working, and then all of a sudden it's just like somebody pulled the fire alarm and nobody's in the room. And then all of a sudden the room just goes quiet. It's kind of surreal.
Yeah,
there was none of that. It was very steady.
I never sat down the entire day. So, people are asking me what I have. I should stop for this moment and say I'm drinking a Stevens Point St. Benedict's Winter Ale this evening. It is very yummy. Local brew, Stevens Point is my alma mater, or one of them anyway, about an hour and 15 minutes west of Appleton. Good stuff. Highly recommended. If you can get it, try it because it's a seasonal only. Anyway, back to Penn Show.
Chai tea. Sunday. So we kind of thought that maybe Saturday would be more like a Sunday normally is, and Sunday would be more like a Saturday normally is. And Sunday was quite busy. Quite frankly, for all the people who were, I'm just going to go there, bashing the show because it was 2 days or, you know, the blizzard or whatever. It was a good show. Sunday was busy.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we all expected that. 154 people through the door on Sunday.
That's amazing. And like I said, it was busy. We were very busy for a good part of the day, steady for the rest of the part of the day. I mean, it was an excellent turnout.
And still, you get some of that, you know, that up close and personal interaction, as Carrie says, because it wasn't a super, super, you know, LA type day.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Yeah. You know, and we got to see our good friend, George Remakis, and his family. His dad is cool. His sister.
I love his sister.
I didn't get a chance to talk to her, but you did.
I did.
The whole family comes to the show. That's how cool this is. And
yep. And
for the first time ever, I think I impressed George. I had a pen that just blew his mind.
Well, you brought it to tease him.
Well, I brought it for the Esterbrook seminar, the history seminar that we did on Saturday. And he looks at me, he goes, "This is a very, very cool pen."
That's high praise from George.
It is. It's high praise. He couldn't believe it. So, and for those wondering where the pen is, I accidentally left it at the office. It's sitting on the floor, believe it or not. It is a Esterbrook Relief 314 eyedropper, black chased hard rubber, slip cap, 14 karat gold nib, ventless nib with a vented feed made by Paul Wirt. And if you rotate the barrel just enough, you can actually see the three-line Paul Wirt imprint on the barrel. So just an amazing piece of fountain pen history. So, but
somebody's asking Aaron asked if we thought that the weather hindered the turnout. I'm sure it did. There were a lot of people who couldn't make it. And, you know, what maybe not everybody knows is that Scott and Eric took over the show, and they didn't have a choice for pretty much most of it. They didn't get to choose the days. By the time that the show had been booked, Friday had already been spoken to. The previous organizer procrastinated, and he freely admits that. So the only option, there were two options: no show in 2016, or go with a 2-day show. They went with a 2-day show. They didn't get to pick the dates. They didn't get to pick the hotel. And they certainly would have chosen a different weekend than the big blizzard of 2016.
Yeah. And they basically started from scratch.
They did. You know, and they did.
Awesome job.
Gangbuster job. You know, so yeah. I'm almost scared to see how much better it's going to be next year.
Yeah. It was a really good show, you know, and I understand people could, you know, they're worried about traveling. They want to risk it. That's completely fine. But we had a great time. I did two seminars.
You did. It was awesome.
I survived. I did not die in front of speaking in front of people. A history seminar on Saturday went really well. I hit it right at 60 minutes. So that was pretty good. I had Deb Basil right behind me teaching a calligraphy class. And that was fun. We all got around the table at the end and looking at some pens that I brought, some pastels and some really cool stuff. And Sunday morning we had the first of its kind,
but not the last,
an Esterbrook, how to resack an Esterbrook, how to resack a letter filler seminar. And we had a couple of us that got around a table and we sat down and we got our hands dirty. We got, you know, go in there and try to get the sack. I mean, there was shellac everywhere. but you know what? At the end of the day, at the end of the hour, actually, I went a little bit long. It was an hour and 20 minutes-ish. You know, there were four brand new Esterbrooks writes getting ready to write. So it was fun, you know, and I think maybe we'll do that. We'll do it here at the store. We can, you know, have a little resack seminar and and everybody's cool. They got to pick their pen. They got to pick the nib. They got a little goodie bag when they're done. It was fun.
Yeah, it was very good, and it was good for you. Nobody knows Esterbrook like you.
I do. Probably not. So I think they took home some good knowledge, and they're going to be re-sacking pens now, so that'll be cool.
It was also a very calligraphy heavy, and that's a good thing, show. Mm-hmm. Deb Basil did 2 seminars like she normally does, and she's just phenomenal. She's just so nice and so easy to work with. She's wonderful. And then our good friend Michael Ward flew out and taught 2 classes. And I wish we could have taken his class, because I bet he was just awesome.
I love Michael. It was so great to see him. Like he said, we had dinner Sunday night, and he says, this is so cool to not have to say, I'll see you in a year. I'm going to see you in 2.5 weeks, but he's really great. He's very talented. Oh my goodness.
Not every conversation starts out with, after high school, when I moved to Japan and worked in an archaeology museum.
That was fun, right?
I didn't know that.
I think everything this man touches, he turns
to gold.
Yeah, he excels at. He's a talented dancer. He's a talented calligrapher. He does rock balancing of all things. And I meant to ask him about that, but everything he does well. He looks like he's about 12.
He does. He does. And he's such
a little hat, and the bow tie. And yeah, I love him. He's a great guy. So
yeah, it was great to see him. So, who else was there? Now in the chat, they're talking about, Mark Bacchus. Mark was doing nib grinding, and like Eric said, he didn't even eat until like 6 o'clock every day. He was so busy. A couple of the other pen repair and nib people opted not to come for different reasons.
Good for Mark. He was busy.
Busy, and people were happy, and that's the way to be. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
There were a couple empty tables because some people had to cancel, but I was very pleasantly surprised at how full the ballroom was for vendors. Lots of different people. We were behind, or John Veely and John Hall were behind us. We love them. It was really, it's really such a benefit to have nice table neighbors, because you're sometimes kind of bumping into people, and some people are nicer about it than others. It was a busy, full show. I don't think we expected it to be quite as busy as it was, but the people who came wanted to be there.
Yeah, and we were having a good time. And John Hall, if you don't know John Hall, that man is hilarious. He's hilarious. And such a nice guy. He's been behind us a couple times now. He was behind us in Baltimore last year. And he's always rooming or sharing a table right next to John Veely, the pencil guy. And John Hall's great. John's been teaching me replating. I brought a sample to show him of my work. And the master, gave me a couple tips. But he's just so funny. He's got this beard, and he looks a little rough around the edges. He's a biker, and
he's a trip.
So here's a funny story, right? So the hotel couldn't seem to get the lunch thing quite right on Saturday,
had nothing to do with Scott and Eric.
Yeah, nothing to do with the guys, but I don't know what went on. But anyway, so John didn't get a lunch, and I looked at him. I said, "Well, John," I said, "did you get a?" He asked me, "So where'd you get the lunch?" I said, "Well, they're giving them up." He says, "Well, I didn't get one." So I go out, and I try to get him. I see if there's an extra lunch left, because we saw they had a table. They were rolling around, and then they rolled it out. And Eric tells me, he says, "All I've got left is veggie." And I look at him. I said, "Have you met John Hall?"
He's not a vegetarian kind of guy.
I said, "Well, just give it to me, and maybe he'll eat. Maybe eat the apple, or eat the chips, or the cookie, or something. You don't want to go and sit. We've done it. You go through a whole day and you don't eat. It's not healthy.
At the end of the day, it's not pretty.
Yeah. And so I go and I bring it back and they say, well, I got you some lunch, John. And he goes, well, I said, but it's veggie. He goes, nope. He says, it's got to move. Put yeah. it down. He says, no, thanks. But, you know, that's not going to work. So good guy. If you never met him, don't be afraid to go up to him and talk to him at a show. He's a lot of fun. He's wicked smart. He knows a lot of things. He's doing engraving. He was showing me a pen he was working on. He's doing engraving, and then he's putting mother of pearl inlay in the pen, and really cool stuff. So nice guy. But yeah, we're blessed to have them behind us because when we did get a little bit of a lull, it was cool to chat and have somebody fun to talk to. So
yeah, absolutely. Now, Carrie in the chat said that people were commenting about the round tables in the middle. Absolute brilliant idea that Eric had. I'm not sure if there was an extra row or if it was just a big empty aisle, but Eric had them set up a number of round tables. Some were high tops set for two. Some were lower round tables. That seated four, and it was a beautiful idea because
really brilliant.
It helped keep people in the room. Normally at a show, you buy a new pen, you buy a new ink, you want to go try it, and you end up running out to the bar, to the lobby, to your hotel room, whatever. And this way people stayed in the room and engaged more with each other. And it certainly didn't hurt sales as well, because you've got, Tracy playing with her new pen, let's say, and somebody else sees the ink and where'd you get that or what color is that? And it just gave people a chance to interact with each other and to just to play with a couple people. Four or five people were at the table in front of us and just swapping pens and letting each other try and writing
by, and they see it. It's brilliant. It was a brilliant, it happened, it happened, but every show should do that, really, seriously.
Yes.
Some shows can't, Raleigh's kind of a small show, but some of these other shows, they could afford to put something somewhere. I would mm-hmm. think. They need to figure out what to do with it. It was really a brilliant, brilliant idea.
Absolutely. Eric, you should organize more shows.
Yeah, Eric, you should do a show, maybe. Consider that. But what else? I saw a couple pens. I admit, I came home with no pens. I did not buy a pen for myself. And Lisa's happy about that. Although there were two serious contenders, and then there was a third one that I saw that was just maybe the most outstanding pen I have seen in quite a while. There was no way I was going to buy it. But I've never in my life seen a Waterman 18. Black hard rubber, of course, with a sterling silver acid etched barrel overlay and fully marked Waterman. It was.
Did it have a nib?
It had a nib. Yeah.
No way.
I know, right?
Oh my God! Well, no wonder you didn't buy it.
Well, and that, and the, I didn't even ask the price because I know Waterman 18s as it is are $600-$800.
Yeah.
You add on. Any Waterman with an acid etch sterling overlays.
That's not happening.
This is not cheap. And to have one on an 18, a beautiful flower on the barrel, outrageous. I don't even know. It was probably $1,500,
$2,000. Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, no, it's not happening.
Staying right here, not happening.
I have two nice, I won't call them very nice, but I have two nice Waterman 18s. But nothing like this. It was really the outstanding vintage pen that I saw. The other two, John had this. I shouldn't even say it because I don't want anybody to buy it.
Is he going to LA?
He's not going to LA. We're not going to see him until Chicago, actually.
All right. Well, just we'll call him, tell him to save it.
He had this beautiful 1950s Pilot, a marbled barrel. Marbled plastic, and it was probably, we couldn't get it open. And you probably need a little bit of heat, but it was probably a bulb filler or an aerometric filling pen. Just really a pretty pen. And it was small. It's, it's probably close to 4¾ inches long, capped, steel nib, you know, but it, really a beautiful, beautiful pen. Pilot made some really great stuff in the 50s. So there was that. And then, you know, every time I look around, you know, because John's right behind us, there it is, you know, so. But and then the other one was, of course, our good friend Jimmy Dolev, who always has some crazy sailor to torture me with. He has this, I forget the name of it, but it's one of the longer 1911s that has the barrel maquillé. It's like a sleeve on it, and it was all speckled gold. It was almost a, you know, like the Rodden approach. And, you know, of course, it's signed by the artist, and it was just a beautiful, stunning, stunning pen. But there was no way. I didn't even ask Jimmy how much it was. We probably could have swung it, but I wanted to hold off on that. Jimmy, you'll have it when we see him in our life.
Yep, we will. We will.
But I don't think you saw it. It was outstanding. It was really a beautiful pen.
I'll see it when you buy it. Just saying.
I see, you know, Jimmy's going to maybe, you know, we're going to help out Suzanne, his daughter, and maybe Jimmy's going to, you know, cut me a deal on the pen, maybe.
There you go.
It's my fingers crossed, hope, you know. But anyway, what else? Anything cool that you saw that we should talk about?
You know, I expected the show to be slow. And just because of the weather, I didn't really get out behind the table much. I don't know that I really shopped much. We went over to Yaffa. We got a couple things. We chatted with Kenro, you know, Aurora and Omas. I spent a little time with Jimmy and Suzanne. Checked in with Eric to make sure he was, you know, good. I didn't really look.
Yeah, I mean, it was sufficiently busy enough that we weren't, you know, some shows on Sunday morning we get up and we you know, we get to walk around and look at everything, and we couldn't do it. I mean, so everybody thinking that this was, you know, people were saying that they were writing off the show and the show wasn't going to happen. I mean, come on, this thing was just as good as we could have expected for a 2-day show. Better.
Even. Actually, once we added up the numbers, it was a really good show.
Yeah, it was almost better than last year's 3-day show. Let's just put it that way. So,
yeah. No, I think that organization wise, it was excellent. Promotion wise, it was wonderful. I mean, there's really, and we spoke with Eric, really the only thing we would change, and he had nothing to do with it, was the bread on the sandwiches.
Oh, my heavens.
Rock that was hard.
That was maybe an extra, I don't, I have words, there are none.
Yeah.
It was like a piece of cement with a piece of turkey in between it.
And again, you know, Scott and Eric had nothing to do with it. They ordered boxed lunches. I think the hotel just used leftover bread because this was rock hard. But very generous. You got a drink, you got a apple, chips, coleslaw one day, potato salad another. It was wonderful. Yeah. So really generous lunch. Just next year, maybe let's see if the hotel will go with bread and not sub rolls.
Yeah, bread from the day.
Oh, and a cookie. Day. Yes, a cookie. It was a really good lunch.
lots of green apples. Yes, absolutely.
I started this green apple collection.
Lined up on the back of the table.
Yes, I had 5 or 6. And those were yummy. So, but who doesn't like green apples? But anyway, it was just a really good show. We were excited. We left and it was all positive. You know, there are some shows we leave and we're thrilled to be gone or
Well, and you know, and maybe one of the great things about the show had anything to do with the pens. It was finding this little, Steph introduced us to this great little place.
Oh, yeah.
What was it called? Was it Marathon?
Marathon.
Marathon. It's a great place. It's, you know, Steph works like two blocks from the hotel, and so we said, well, let's go somewhere, and it was two blocks down the street. They were open, and man, the food was just, it was something else. It was perfect for a snowy 20-inch kind of day, you know, and it had these great, those glass windows inside. You sit and there's glass windows on all, you know, on all sides. It's the restaurant sits on a corner, and we're watching people having snowball fights in the streets. It was beautiful.
And it's perfectly located. You had Dunkin' Donuts across the street, the Happy Rooster across the street, and Insomnia Cookies down the road.
Which we never got a chance to take advantage of. Next time. But yeah, we went to this place. Was so good. We went with Steph on Saturday night, and on Sunday after the show, after we finally got everything
packed up and taken up to our room.
Packed up, and we had to take it up to our room because we obviously weren't leaving. I'm not going to put the stuff in the car. We had dinner with Eric and Michael Ward at this place. And so we got to try extra things, you know, which was fun because they had this mac and cheese with panko.
That Brian had been talking about since Saturday night.
Like, you know, you can't order everything. Go back and get some. So it was great. It was really, really one of the great, great finds.
We felt like locals.
We did. Twice in a row, we sat in the same booth. It's our booth.
We did. But Philly show is over, and it was an excellent, excellent show.
Yeah, I'm
excited to see what happens next year.
Absolutely. Should we talk about new stuff?
We should.
If there's any left, actually.
With show prep last week, and we just finally got everything inventoried and put away today. We haven't had that much time to get new stuff on the site. We will have some new things coming up in the next couple days, and some of them are really cool. But in the meantime, today, out of the blue, an item that I ordered months and months and months ago finally showed up. And heed my words, buy it now. It's going to be gone before tomorrow morning because we've already sold over half.
Let me just double check.
Montblanc Golden Yellow Ink. Brand new, just came in. And of course, they never tell us what's coming, so we just get a box. Montblanc Golden Yellow. The same adorable little fluted bottle that the pink. And what else comes in this bottle?
JFK, I think it was.
JFK. But really pretty, kind of a golden yellow.
Yeah, Steph's asking how easy is it to read. We literally got it in this afternoon and haven't even had a chance to do it. We haven't even done a swab of it yet. We're busy putting everything down, putting everything away from the show. But yeah, we've sold over half, and I don't even have a picture of this stinking bottle. The pop up on the website or a swab card. People have been waiting for it. So
we'll do the swab card tomorrow before we sell them out.
So hopefully.
So we were excited to get that in, which means that some other stuff will be coming soon. And we did pick up a couple things at the show that we'll get up on the site. So we've got some fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, we're working on some cool stuff, so it's taking a little bit longer, I think, than anticipated, but it'll be worth it. So that's about it for stuff in the store. On the blog this week, we had a little video of Platinum Balance, a decent, inexpensive Japanese pen with a steel nib. Check that out. And coming up, this is very exciting.
You know, I'm giddy.
This is awesome. This is going to be our first real big event like this at the store.
Thursday, February 18th.
Yeah, now, which is the Thursday after the Los Angeles Pen Show.
We leave the LA Pen Show Sunday night. We drive straight through with just a couple naps to get home Tuesday so that Wednesday evening we can pick up the general manager of Pilot Pen USA. He's coming to Appleton to see us and to see the store. So we're going to pick up our good friend, John. And he gets in Wednesday night. We're going to be barely coherent. And then Thursday, we are doing a big Pilot Pen event in the store. Oh, so if you are remotely close by, come by, because John is bringing some to die for pens. Stuff you don't see in person.
Yeah, and you know, there's no way I'm going to even buy any of this, but it's cool. It'd be cool to see it. The whole day. I mean, we saw some of the stuff he brought
to Dallas
a couple of years ago. And, you know, and it's the Machier work is outstanding. The artwork is just amazing, and I'm so excited to be able to hold these pens in our hands and just look at them and have more than when we saw them in Dallas. It was like what, 2 minutes maybe max that we got to look at them.
Is that the one I almost dropped?
The $12,000 pen that you almost dropped. Yes, that was it. but mom's going to be there, right? So that's
cool. Mom will still be here.
Oh, that's going to be great. But yeah, it's going to be cool if you're anywhere in the area and you can make it. We're going to stay open a little bit later that night so people can come in and check it out. I don't know all what John's bringing, but it's going to be great. You can ask questions. You got questions about Pilot, what's coming out, but whatever. And John's a great guy. He's friendly. He's
down to earth.
Yeah. So we love him.
Yep. He came to Dallas to see us. And so some of you may remember that we went to dinner with John Lane and with George from Retro 51. We stayed up way too late that night. We went back to George's house and sat on his back deck and drank and smoked cigars until 2 a.m.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
So Thursday, February 18th, and you're going to hear about it more. We're going to we'll talk about it more as we get more information, but it's going to be fun. If you can make it, put it on the calendar and let us know if you're going to come. That'd be great.
That's it.
Shout outs
to all of the shut-ins, all of our friends still snowed in, trapped in, you know, in their igloos in, Maryland, DC, Delaware. We've heard from a number of friends who, you know, still have their feet of snow outside their houses and who are having a hard time getting outside. Much love to you guys. Hang in there. Spring's coming.
Awesome.
So that's it.
I guess that's it, huh?
Yeah.
Great. I guess that's it for this week then. Everybody, thanks for joining us. Use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, 10 East College Avenue, Suite 112A, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54911.
Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Periscope, and all other social media as Anderson Pens. And keep an eye out for the big Pilot event. It's going to be really
fun. The blog is blog.andersonpens.com.
And the website is andersonpens.com.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, and we will see you next week. Have a good night, everyone.